How do you mean that?
Well, I mean that there are the colors and the beauties, the designs, the beautiful way things appear. People themselves, dull people that I thought dull, appear fascinating, interesting, mysterious, wonderful. But that's only the beginning.
Welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. Let's get this show started.
Venom comic, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What do we think about the movie coming out?
I'm
excited.
I'm ready for it.
Oh, man.
It doesn't look good.
What?
I just don't think it looks good.
The only way I feel
I don't think it looks bad. I just don't think it looks good.
I'm not expecting it to be good.
I'm expecting it to be all right.
But I'm good.
Although I really like Tom Hardy.
I like Tom Hardy and I like Venom, so it's enough to make me go see the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a solid, C-plus movie.
Yeah, I think it'll be entertaining enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting much. It's just whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of watch it.
I thought they were going to take a Deadpool approach with it.
I can't promise if...
Deadpool was really good.
Is it rated PG-13?
We don't know yet. They still don't know yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like...
If it's rated R, that'll be a...
They don't know yet? That's a big red flag.
Well, that's because... Yeah. I think they're trying to figure out if they're trying to get it into the MCU or not.
Yeah, well, that's... They're trying to figure out the best way to promote it.
Well, that too. But
essentially, because they're are we going after the PG-13 is where most people can watch it, almost everybody. You're eliminating it, Deadpool, the whole thing. Does he have enough strong enough? So they're basing how they're going to make the rest of the movie,
mm-hmm.
or they're deciding how they're going to make the rest of the movie based on what they can do with promotions.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign.
I mean, it comes out next month, so it's already done shooting.
Editing, some lines
or whatever. But I heard they were doing reshoots or something.
Yeah,
but,
so that's not. It doesn't. That stuff doesn't bode well.
I know. But
I always hope for the best, and it might just be whatever. Which is most of these comic book movies to me.
Mm-hmm.
Except we were talking. I think probably one of my favorite, maybe besides Logan. Logan, Dark Knight, and Thor Ragnarok. Are some of the best I've seen. Thor Ragnarok was a breath of fresh air.
It's so fucking funny, bro.
It's so lighthearted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking funny. Comic book movie. That's what I want to see.
Son of a bitch.
Even I'm a comic book kind of enthusiast.
No.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Aiden's in here. I've never been interested in Thor as just a character on his own, so I've never expected his movies to hold much. But
I've always been interested in him since Adventures in Babysitting. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
The girl was I didn't even know what Thor was
when
I first saw that. And I knew him ever since then.
Yeah, that's classic. If you hear some scratching, that's because there's a cat in here.
Taking a shit.
Didn't know about. Yeah, he wrecks that litter box. What's up, guys? Welcome to Strange People, Weird World. My name's Greg, and with me, as always, is Josh Hart, Steve McMorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've noticed the lack of a fourth voice, we have decided to put on our big boy podcasting pants and see if we can carry the show, just the three of us.
Yeah, and if anything, making it more special of a special guest appearance.
Yeah, more special when somebody's here.
Yeah,
I think... Yeah, we were talking about it. I think three voices is just enough. When you get four people, side conversations, people start talking over one another.
Yep.
It can be kind of cluttered.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Now everybody can pay attention to Steve.
Yeah. That's the whole goal. Suckers.
Have you listened to the new Eminem yet?
Yeah.
That was really good.
I love it.
I really, really like it. I love when he's pissed off.
Yeah, he's Eminem.
Makes for so much
worse to be recorded,
yeah,
man.
Makes for so much better music.
I think it's so great. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just starts ripping on everybody. I love it. People as well as the music type and everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's always looking for that. I think the best rap, hip hop artists in the game are usually ones that deal in social commentary.
Yeah.
It's not Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, all that trash.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm not trying to hate the players, hate the game type of thing.
Well, I mean, that's what it evolved from, is social commentary.
Yeah, yeah, like,
back
100%.
To the 80s,
yeah, yeah, hip hop, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
So that's why your Biggie, your Tupac, they were the ones. back to like NWA and stuff like that. They were all telling about what was going on, and that's what was so special about it. Where now I sound like an old asshole, just like shitting on the younger people's music, which I'm not trying to do, but I think it's just an influx of so much.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get really good stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you're also gonna get fucking trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also the like trash is so much more praised than the good stuff in the grand scheme of things.
It's easy.
Because like it's easy to listen to,
yeah.
It's easy to love. It's repetitive as fuck, and it's all braggadocious. So mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
anyone that listens to it feels the way that the rapper does, and at least conceptually, you know, they're like, oh,
yeah, yeah,
like,
I think so.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, like I'm like, more what? Fucking Prada, bitch. Like what? And
it's just like now the formula for these kind of anthem songs too. It's really easy to write
yeah.
and just get.
You oh, get they're very formulaic.
Yeah, yeah
gang culture.
Some, yeah, yeah, exactly. But that's just. Pop music, and you want to say hip hop isn't pop music, then you're just retarded.
Yeah.
Because it's all like, or at least a subgenre of hip hop is mm-hmm. It's just pop music.
Yeah,
it's formulaic. They package it so that it's just immediately available to the masses, yeah. just like Beyonce, just like you know, Gucci Gang.
And it's not
shit.
To say it wasn't there in our time either. There was definitely, you know,
we just didn't have the
influx
of it. Yeah. It's kind of like this. Cone that's slowly building yeah. out where back in the day when it was like the 50s and 60s, like what made it to the radio was all you heard.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So that was what you had to choose from and what you liked. And as everything started to open up, then you just people are able to choose more. So it's a good and bad thing
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure. But at the end of the day, you don't hate it because it's like, yeah, whatever. Like,
it's whatever.
Yeah, they're just trying to sell something. They're just hustling.
Yeah.
So I don't really hate them for that.
Yeah, but you know,
doesn't mean I like it.
If you're listening to this show, you obviously have good sense and good taste, anyways. So
you're, yeah, but of course,
that makes
yeah,
that makes
yeah.
sense.
So this obviously doesn't affect you, anyways. So, so great. Today we're going to be launching another one of the little series I kind of want to keep touching on, you know, once a month or so. This one being the...
Are we solving problems?
Not this time.
Are solving mysteries?
Not this time.
Oh, okay.
Not this time. Another one coming soon, though.
Oh, I did like those.
Yeah, those are going to be
fun. I just felt like we were doing some good.
We did some good. Yeah, I would say in the next show or two, we'll probably be solving another mystery. But this
just
week...
let me know, man.
We should bring Devon back for a mystery.
If we ever get a hold of him.
Yeah, I know, right?
Devon, are you... Yeah, first of all, are you alive out there? We were supposed to have Devin Gibbs this week. That was kind of the inspiration for not doing guests anymore, too.
Fuck you, Devin.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I there call you go. Devin when I want to make...
Yeah,
you
were
like a piece
pissed
of shit.
Off at you now.
Is your cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But anyways, hope you're alive.
Yeah, I saw him on Saturday.
Devon Gibbs. Oh, we did see him.
Yeah, we did an NFL fantasy draft.
Oh, well, then you're alive, so...
You guys did the draft?
Yeah.
I didn't do a draft. I just don't know enough about it to make educational choices.
I only know about the
Packers. I don't think I did either, but I just kind of rolled the dice. Like, I mean, I definitely just drafted, like, three quarterbacks. Like, the first top three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Bad idea is what I hear all the time. But it's like, you know, I got some high-value market.
Did you take
like,
Aaron?
No, I didn't get Aaron, bro.
Then you're
a
fool.
I know. Well, here's the thing. I got Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Cam Newton. That's like the three, like, some of the greatest quarterbacks. Like,
yeah, I mean, they really, yeah. I mean, yeah. Brady's probably one of the best quarterbacks
of all time. I'm not sure about Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam Newton's still alive. He's good.
He's okay. He's
But definitely not in that league.
No.
In that
He's not the same. He's so unpredictable in the sense that he can fucking just run.
I like watching him.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Like,
yeah.
He can just run.
Yeah, he's
I like, with black quarterbacks a lot,
dude,
though.
Yeah, they got the skill.
Oh, yeah, they can just take off.
They go, yeah, well...
I haven't watched him in the last year or two, to be honest, but I used to feel like he was kind of a selfish player, like opportunities to throw for a touchdown or anything like that. He would take the run anyways.
Just you just didn't like him really bringing dabbing into the fold.
Well, yeah. That was,
I think that's what you
as a consequence
against.
From that, I had to deal with Sterling at work.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
For
yeah.
2 years.
God, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Wow. Love you, Sterling.
It's all just back to the dabbing. People dabbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so the build-up I was getting to, and then we went away from, our new series is Incredible Cons. So we'll be talking about, like, different con men and stuff like that. I honestly, for some reason,
did we do a con thing earlier? Like,
not yet.
Oh, we didn't. Oh, so we're going to do, like, a...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're going to be talking...
This is the first of
yeah, kind of like the Unsolved Mysteries. This will be in the first of another series.
And is that peppermint I'm smelling?
That is peppermint, yeah.
That's a peppermint...
Essential oil.
Essential oil we got going on. What is the... Why the peppermint? Just because you like the smell of peppermint, or is there like, something that goes along with it?
We just bought, we bought two of those things, and we bought like a package that came with six essential oils. So oh, okay. We just kind of rotate through them.
I gotcha.
The one my favorite is actually right here, the orange. I like the orange.
Okay. I better not come in here when there's like fucking patchouli one time.
I swear hate to God. Patchouli? Oh, yeah. I don't like sage, and I don't like patchouli.
Sage, sage, I don't mind. Sage, sage is fine. I think patchouli is the really the
patchouli's
only one.
Patchouli's terrible. Like,
does it smell like black licorice?
It smells like smells dirty like, hippie.
Yeah, that's, it just smells like hippie, dude.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Yeah. If you ever smelled hippies, that they just bathe themselves in it in lieu of a bath or anything like that, or a shower.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Who needs a shower?
Yeah.
It's I do every day. okay, so. Yeah,
so this week, we're I don't want to say, I don't know if say respect or look up to, but.
I feel like respect is better than saying you look up to them.
Yeah, I kind of, I've kind of enjoy these con men. Like, I just kind of like, wow, like you got away with that. That's pretty cool. Like, I
well, like a Danny Ocean kind of.
Yeah, yeah, or you know, like Catch Me If You Can. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a real life one.
Oh, Frank Abagnale.
Yeah, Frank Abagnale. This week we're talking about Victor Lustig. He's a man who, amongst other things, sold the Eiffel Tower twice.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He sold the Eiffel Tower? Like, pretend somebody thought he owned it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he sold it
two times. Kind of. He represented
himself. It's like how people sell pieces of the moon.
Yeah.
Or you can buy stars.
Remember that star gig?
Yeah. No. Don't remember it. It's still happening.
It's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you selling that? You have to own that first before you can sell it.
Yeah. They own the star. I actually bought a plot of stars one time, and you know, before the star game got really big, I sold mine off cheap. I didn't know people were going to start naming themselves. But yeah, you know, you can buy.
How did somebody come up?
I don't
with that?
Fucking know. That's crazy. So it's crazy.
How did they pitch it? The first one to like pitch it to somebody.
I guess it's
because it had to have been a company that started it, right?
I remember
somebody saying, "I'm going to sell a star." Like. Mark, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, I'm going to sell a star to somebody, and they're going to buy. And sure enough, a shit ton of people bought them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I look at people with those ideas, and I'm like, damn, like, that is.
Yeah, it's like the Pet Rock kind of
type
of stuff. You're like, why don't I think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say it about so much stuff, though.
But yeah, Count Victor Lustig.
Count? Selling the Eiffel Tower.
He's a count.
Oh, count shit. Was with he a quotes. Vampire? With quotes, yeah. He was a man.
Yeah, he's a Count Knight Lester.
He was a man who used 47 different aliases, carried dozens of fake passports, spoke five different languages, being Czech, German, English, French, and Italian. And he created a web of lies so thick that even today, his true identity remains shrouded in mystery. Count Victor Lustig was just his favorite name to use.
So nobody knows his real name.
On his Alcatraz paperwork, prison officials called him Robert V. Miller. In prison interviews, he told investigators that he was born into the Austria-Hungarian town of Hastein on January 4th of 1890. But even then, that's kind of fuzzy. People aren't really sure.
There's people at the end of the day, you don't know.
Yeah, they've heard stories of his dad being like the mayor of the town, and then there's times he said he grew up like in filth and squalor. And
where
was
the fuck do you find these people, Greg?
Weird attracts weird, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Holy shit.
So during his. What we do know is by the time he was 19. Lustig was taking time away from his studies at the University of Paris to start gambling and poker, bridge, and billiards. It was also around this age that he earned a scar across the left side of his face from a jealous man who thought Lustig was paying too much attention to the man's girlfriend. Lustig was charming and quick to show his vast knowledge of linguistics.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't fuck with other guys' girls. Get your eye cut out.
Happens.
He left school and began committing dozens of petty crimes under countless aliases across Europe, his favorite being Count Victor Lustig. As the Count, he would travel back and forth on ocean liners, sailing between the Atlantic ports of France and New York City, where he would pose as a musical producer who sought investment in a non-existent Broadway production.
And what year are we talking right now? Give or take.
About
1890-something?
1910-ish.
Yeah, so you could just be anybody at any time.
And yeah, whatever the fuck you want to do.
Like, what a crazy age.
Yeah, so he's dressing up fancy.
It's like, it was basically like you're living the internet.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's so true. You can do what the fuck you want.
Yeah, you can just be anybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got the gusto, I mean...
That's it, man. You're whoever you want to be. It's like watching Deadwood or something like that, and you see these people going to these towns, like, what's your name? Who are you? They have no way to backtrack this dude. Just like anybody. Yeah, you are just... It's just pre-internet days.
Yeah.
Just going around.
Yeah, you fancy suit, get on there with a bunch of people you know are rich.
Yeah.
You know, trust is...
Fake it till you make it. I think that's probably where the saying started.
Yeah.
You know, you act like you're rich and maybe you can get into it.
Yep.
Act like Mr. Dawson.
So that worked out great for him.
Titanic reference.
I've never seen that movie, so...
You've never seen Titanic?
Nope.
Is it because you're like, don't swim? Is that...
You're Mr. Dawson.
I don't know. I've just like I won't really say I've ever had the opportunity to watch Titanic.
Like, you haven't? Have you shied away from it?
I've never like searched for it, but I've never been like I don't want
to
watch.
I don't really know what to think because I've seen it because I've seen it in theaters twice because it was such a huge deal when it came out.
Oh my god, it was fucking insane!
Yeah, and I'm sure
just like it did really well opening weekend and just kind of
it just kept.
No, it just was. It was for like a year.
Yeah, just or something it just kept destroying.
And then it just got like another. I think when was it? I think it was released in maybe summer. I want to say because I feel like it got like a resurgence over the holidays.
Probably
is what happened.
That thing was a beast in the theaters.
It was it was unlike anything you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Until Avatar came along.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
Yeah.
James Cameron just murdering it.
Speaking of, we're still waiting on the next three sequels. What the fuck?
I think he's working on them.
It's supposed to be like nine.
Well, he just did. Avatar, he just produced the. What is it that? That one movie, Battle Angel or something like that.
I don't know.
But it looks interesting. But, yeah, side note. So it was, Titanic was just...
Yeah, it was, and we're at the age to have experienced that. But to be honest, like, in my adult life, I haven't watched Titanic once.
I have. I think it was, it's a really good film.
I'm sure.
Don't get me wrong, I've seen clips of it. I've seen the clip of it, like, I think when the ship's starting to go down.
Yeah.
And, like, they're, like, in, like, the mess room or the cafeteria or some shit.
Dude, it's
like,
worth
that's
a
it.
Watch.
Like, that's all I've seen.
I mean, it's just a good, it's as James Cameron put it, it's Romeo and Juliet on the Titanic.
Mm.
That was it. So it's, it's a sound thing. People can put it down all they want, but... It's a juggernaut of a film.
I never hear anyone ever talk shit about Titanic.
Yeah,
like,
it's
ever.
Good. No, yeah. Check it out sometime.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think Leonardo DiCaprio's, I think, is one of the best actors ever.
Oh, yeah, but people could. So, talking about that and what we were just talking about as well, people can kind of tell when you were not of like upper class.
Hmm.
So they could sniff out people. So you couldn't just be exactly
you have to
who
you, know
you
what
really
you're doing.
Got.
Yeah,
you'd have to you have like to have these guys do, where they study them and then take on their persona.
Because there's the whole etiquette thing and mannerisms, and there's certain ways to walk, talk.
Oh yeah,
everything. Yeah,
Even with manners and things like where you sit, you know how to eat, like which utensil to use, and things like that. And that stuff was all taught like when you were growing up, especially if you came from money. So they were able to sniff that out pretty quick.
Yeah,
to a decent amount. So yeah, you had to study. You had to do your homework like these con men.
Even me being a poor, like uncultured piece of crap, me and Miranda were watching a movie, and I'm like, "Why is the girl walking like that?" She's like, "That's what you're taught as a lady, you know." And it was some weird.
What was she walking?
Was it like fucking perfectly in line, like with her feet, like she was walking. In it had to be and in heels and all that stressful shit.
Yeah, there's little things like that. The people who are of that upper class, like it's. In that movie, what's her name? And she was a resident here in Colorado.
From movie? Titanic?
Yeah,
Rose?
She was on Titanic. No, not Rose.
Yeah.
Molly Brown.
Oh.
Who was on the Titanic.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. And she had come into money. She wasn't, they called her new money.
Yeah, new money.
Because she didn't have that class that the other people did, so they could see it, even though she had the money, so she kind of had to be led into the club.
But she had more money than all of them.
She was just, like, absurdly rich.
Yeah.
Was it oil or something like that?
Something.
Yeah.
She just came into or something.
Like yeah.
That. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyways, by 1920... no, actually, The transatlantic liners were suspended in the wake of World War I. Lustig found himself in search of new territory to make income. He opted to travel to the United States, and by 1922, he had hustled and conned his way to Missouri, where he learned of a repossessed ranch. So posing under the alias of Robert Duvall, Lustig offered the American savings...
His name, he posed, is Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall.
So did Robert Duvall take that name?
I don't...
The actor?
Not that I know of. I think it's a given name.
No, it's probably a stage name.
Is it?
Most likely. I mean, a lot of those guys have stage names.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that this particular con, I don't think, was that famous.
Oh.
That somebody would take it. But
oh, okay. I didn't know how famous this guy was. Yeah. That, I don't know, Robert. If Robert Duvall grew up hearing tales of Robert Duvall.
No, because this is the only time he used the name, and this is
probably not even
one of his more famous cons.
Just happened to be Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
But he, his next con was Gene Hackman.
So as Robert Duvall, he offered the American Savings Bank $22,000 in Liberty bonds. He also convinced them to exchange $10,000 of the bonds for cash so that he would have some capital to run the ranch. The deal was struck.
Wait, so what was the deal real quick?
So he found a repossessed ranch in Missouri, did I say?
Yeah.
He had $22,000 in Liberty bonds that were real.
Okay.
Goes to buy the land with these $22,000 in bonds, and he says, hey, wait a second. I need some money to run this.
Yeah.
Let's exchange $10,000 for cash right now. And they said, fair enough.
So he got it for half price.
$10,000 $10,000 in bonds?
Yeah, he would have owed that $10,000 or whatever the deal was, but maybe he bought the ranch for $10,000 and had another $10,000 in bonds and said, "Can you cash this out so I have some capital?"
Okay.
Either way, the deal was struck, and the bonds and the money were placed in identical envelopes. Through sleight of hand, Lustig was able to make off with both the bonds and the cash.
Fuck.
He was.
What do you mean make off? He knows where he lives. He just bought a ranch, didn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He probably got away.
He
turned around and walked inside the ranch.
He probably did it in some way that he was just coming out with more money and saying, fuck the ranch and all that. And
there's got to be something.
But because he left, he was tracked down to Kansas City where he was arrested.
Well, yeah, wait, he bought a ranch.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Where do you think he was going to go? Yeah.
True. Maybe he thought they would just think they lost the money. Or
what a dumbass.
Yeah.
I hope his comeback is great.
Hey, he's for, yeah. He,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Not so good as Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. That's why he dropped the name there.
Robert Duvall is
not as good as Count Victor Lustig. He did manage to talk his way out of an indictment and walk free, though.
Okay.
So pretty good.
So he's just a slick guy.
Now, the Eiffel Tower. Sip on my beer here.
There you go.
You know, it's really throwing me off that if we record on YouTube, we can't drink beer in the studio.
Dude, what the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
I don't think that's true, bro.
You need to look into that.
Because, I literally just saw something about people drinking on YouTube. I just saw a video where they were drinking on YouTube.
That's what I'm saying. The guy last week.
Maybe you get demonetized. I think you get demonetized.
Blazing like crazy on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. People smoke weed.
So I think what it is you get demonetized. You don't make money from it.
Oh.
But you'll... You can put it
on
there.
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah,
we're not making money anyways.
Yeah. I don't know, I'll just throw it in like a bag or something.
I was going to say, I'll just fucking put a koozie around it.
Yeah, just put a koozie around it.
You don't know what I'm
just
drinking.
Just don't say, hey, I'm drinking beer.
I'll even mention my soda is delicious today.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, the Eiffel Tower. In 1925, Lustig traveled back to Paris, where he read a newspaper article discussing the problems faced with maintaining the Eiffel Tower. At the time, the monument had begun to fall into disrepair, and the city was finding it increasingly expensive to maintain and repaint it. The overall public opinion was called for the monument's removal.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I never actually knew it was like ever that bad.
Damn. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, if your city's not making a lot of money, repainting and maintaining that chunk of metal that's just there for no reason.
Yeah,
and now it's going first. Yeah, now it makes them tons of money.
Yeah.
And that's outrageous.
Yeah, now it's all lit up and crazy.
Yeah.
This gave Lustig inspiration for a new con, and he set to work preparing the scam.
He sold the guy a parachute.
Do you ever see that video? I think there's an old video of a guy jumping off the Eiffel Tower to test a parachute. And he dies. It's like one of the first deaths on camera.
What?
Yeah, watch Robert Duvall or whatever sell the guy a parachute. he tried to test a parachute and fell off and he just dies.
That's
there's
crazy.
There's video of it.
That's sad.
It's like old timey video. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's even worse.
Yeah, so they're like moving faster.
That's why I.
It's like boop, 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 boop. Just mm-hmm. like fucking.
I opted out of parachute testing as a career field.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I didn't seem too good. No.
I'd probably do it like twice and then be like, all right, I'm good.
So Lustig found he hired a forger to produce fake government stationery for him. and once he was ready, Lustig invited a small group of scrap metal dealers to a confidential meeting at an expensive hotel, where he identified himself to them as the Deputy Director General of the Ministre des Postes et Telegraphes. No fucking clue what that means.
Fuck yeah.
But that's the fake position he had the guy
for. I like how he hired a forger. Like, yeah. Where the fuck did he find a forger?
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
I don't understand, and that's the thing. I'm like boringly
too realistic.
Rule-following citizen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I never, like I told you, I never had to find drugs from a drug dealer or anything. We talked about that. Like, I never had to do that. So I don't understand how it's, people find,
once,
like.
Once you have a pulse, like, on the underworld, it's
it kind of finds you. Like, you find it, but then it finds you.
You always know a guy who knows a guy.
Is that yeah. like yeah. I'm just like, where do I even begin?
Yeah, I mean, like, even
I'd be fucked in the streets. Like back when it was just me on the streets, I'd be dead. In like
with
a
my history at Las Vegas at the age of 23.
Yeah,
I probably could have got you like a small child or something. Like, I got offered a box of hand grenades one time, and I was like, I don't think I want to fuck with that at all. I think I want to go away now.
You got offered a box of hand grenades?
To buy. $50 a grenade, yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
No, that's why I always buy one of those.
Tempting, like, offered me
tempting because I live in the middle of a desert, just drive out in the middle of nowhere and throw a fucking grenade one time, but like, no.
Yeah, like if I could buy like
one. I don't want to touch one. I don't want to have my prints. No.
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 Not even to pick one up.
Yeah, no. That was the end of Greg in a box right there.
I just grab one, like, thank you.
No, I want a trained professional saying, Greg, this is how you operate a grenade. Throw it like this.
How you operate a grenade, you hold it.
You think you know.
I would think I would know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there, what I don't know is if there's some little thing that you're supposed to do or not supposed to
do. Yeah, I know.
I don't know the rules of the grenade.
Yeah, I know movie grenade rules.
Yeah, where, bink, and then you got like 5 seconds.
Yeah. You're
like, no, or don't take your hand off the clip.
No, so how it works is.
No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, bro.
Have you thrown a grenade?
No, but my friends have thrown grenades.
Okay, you don't.
They've told me about throwing grenades.
So when have you. You've already had this conversation?
Yeah, of course. My friend's in the Marines. Like, he's throwing grenades and shit. So, like, you literally hold the bitch, right? Pull that little sucker, squeeze that motherfucker. Pull that pin, and as long as you hold that fucking thing, you're good.
Yeah.
And these are modern grenades you're talking about. I don't know what I would have been buying.
That's World War II. Yeah, exactly. That has half the timing on it.
Or some old Russian shit.
Or as soon as you let go of the pin, it just absolutely blows up automatically. Yeah, it's a faulty.
Yeah,
he's selling you the $50 ones because the $100 ones, those are the expensive. Those are the ones that work right.
These are the ones that are
2 seconds.
Yeah, I buy a case, hit a bump in my car. Yeah. In my rear end.
Yeah, these have loose pins on them or something. Yeah. He's selling a discount.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with that. You know, it's like my buddy trying to sell me a jeans out of his trunk one time, and they said Hilfiger instead of Hilfiger. I was like, dude, those are spelled wrong. And he's like, oh. Yeah, sorry about that, man. So you could be buying Hilfiger grenades.
Yeah, Hilfiger grenades. Definitely don't want the Hilfiger grenades. Oh,
God, that's a good quote right there. Hilfiger grenades.
Uh-huh. Oh, so.
I wish I made that up, too. No, homeboy was trying to sell me jeans out of the back of his car, and they, sure enough, said Hilfiger.
Oh, gosh.
God damn it.
Yep.
Was he black?
No, he was like Arab. He was some Arab.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Was he going out of business?
No, he's just a business guy. He's like one of those guys now who owns like multiple businesses. You know, just all business all the time.
No, I was just talking about, you ever seen a Don't Mess With a Zohan?
No.
Oh,
They all have stories that are called like going out of business. Or, like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's the Adam Sandler one?
Yeah, yeah. It's dumb as hell, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, a lot of Adam Sandler's ones are, but that's what you got to expect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like.
So, speaking of dumb. In the meeting, he convinced the men that the upkeep of the Eiffel Tower was becoming too much for Paris and that the French government wished to sell it for scrap, but that because such a deal would be controversial and likely spark public outcry, nothing could be disclosed until the details were thought out. Lustig revealed that he was in charge of selecting the dealer who would receive ownership of the structure, claiming that the group had been selected carefully because of their reputations as, quote, honest businessmen.
These are scrappers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what's this? In Spider-Man, the dude who played Batman and Birdman. And
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it's like Michael Keaton and Spider-Man.
That's so fucking funny.
We got a room full of these guys. Yeah. As part of his speech, he took genuine insight about the monument's place in the city and how it didn't fit with the city's other great monuments, like the Gothic cathedrals or the Arc de Triomphe. During his time with the dealers, Lustig kept watch on who would be most likely to fall for his scam, and he found his mark in André Poison, an insecure man who wished to rise up amongst the inner circles of the Parisian business community.
Doesn't sound like a man you want to, like, cross.
André Poison? Yeah.
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 This would be a good movie.
Yeah, I think they did make some sort of movie about it. He showed the most keen interest in purchasing the monument. Lustig decided to focus on him once the dealers sent in their bids. Arranging a private meeting, Lustig convinced him that he was a corrupt official, claiming that his government position did not give him generous salary for the lifestyles he wished to enjoy. Believing that the sale of the Eiffel Tower would secure his place amongst the top businessmen, Poison agreed to pay the large bribe to secure ownership of the tower. However, once Lustig received his bribe and the funds for the monument's sale, he soon fled to Austria.
Sure, yeah.
So he sold the Eiffel Tower and got a bribe to sell it.
Do we know the price?
I did not hear anything about price. It probably has something to do with Lustig suspected that when Poison found out he had been conned, he would be too ashamed or embarrassed to inform the French police of what he had been caught up in.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So he maintained check on the newspapers while in Austria, and his suspicions were correct. He found no reference to his con within the pages, and thus decided to return to Paris later that year and pull off the scheme one more time.
Oh, what a gangster, bro.
Yeah, why not? Again, we're talking about these times where you could just, if you lost the guy.
Yeah.
You're done. Like, that guy, unless he comes back here, how do you...
Unless you're fucking Batman. Like,
no, Batman in the early 1900s wouldn't have done jack shit.
Bro, that's not even true. There's comics.
Actually, yeah, I'm sure he would, because that was... His thing wasn't money, right? It was that he was a really good detective.
He's also intelligent as fuck. He's like the most...
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he was like...
Yeah, he's the world's greatest detective.
He's
the world's
greatest detective. Yeah.
So I guess he would. But yeah, everybody... But in reality... If we talk about reality, then yeah, you could just bounce, and you kind of just fucked.
Yeah.
Yep.
So even the second time, he actually barely managed to elude authorities, and he was forced to flee to America to prevent capture.
Okay.
So even with this time being on to him, he still got the fuck out of the country, and it's just like, hey,
that's it,
done.
Like, once you're on the boat or the plane or whatever, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah,
man.
He's waving goodbye to them on the docks, looking at you.
Yep. Yeah, because, like, once you get there, you're like, you're gone, bro.
Yeah, man, you're ghost. People just changing their last names and shit when they came to America.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Yeah, like I said, he had, like, 47 different aliases.
Yeah, just walk in.
20 different
What's your
passports.
Name? Make it up.
Yeah.
You know? That's why when people are talking about, like, oh, my ancestors came over here legally. Yeah, idiot. That's because they came on a boat and they just walked onto an island. People are just like, oh, okay, where are you from? Here you are. Write your name down. Okay, you're into the country.
Yeah, you're in.
You know, that was basically it. Much, much different than nowadays.
So now he's back in America, and he's going to go pull off kind of his most infamous scam ever.
So he's American? Would you start in America, he said?
No, no. He had already been here, though.
Oh, okay.
Buying the ranch and all that shit.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. He's from Austria-Hungary back in the day, when that was still a thing. So in 1926, he became even more infamous for a con known as the Romanian box. Lustig had a cabinet maker in New York City handcraft a mahogany box with narrow slots cut in either side. Lustig would also install a series of complicated handles and levers. He told his marks that the mahogany box was the world's only money-duplicating machine, capable of printing one bill every 6 hours.
What?
Yep. So he's got just a wood box with a bunch of fucking handles and levers on it and a slot on each side. And he says, hey, this will duplicate any bill you want. It takes 6 hours.
Fuck.
So he basically, the way it worked is he had about six $100 bills preset on the exit side.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Back then. Yeah. It's a fuck ton of money.
It's a lot of investment for for his deal. And then he takes another one, and when he has his mark, he puts it in, starts working the levers, and he actually sat there and waited with them for the 6 hours. And then he would, one of the exit bills would come out, and he'd go to the bank with them and authenticate it.
Yeah.
And then he would not sell them until they offered him a ridiculous amount of money, because this is the only money duplicating box in the world, right? And it's going to pay for itself eventually, right?
Eventually, yeah. Give it a year, you're good.
So, now there's 5 bills left, and it takes 6 hours apiece to print them.
Yeah.
Plenty of time for him to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. But I guess people, limited education, back in the day, limited resources, like, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it go in, you're like, oh shit, they take you to the bank, it's authenticated, like, they probably thought they fucking hit the jackpot.
Yeah, he even managed to con a sheriff in Texas into buying one.
No, I bet. Why would you not?
Yeah.
I guess so.
And it's still illegal then, right? Like, that, like,
printing money?
Yeah.
That's a felony, yeah.
Yeah, so sure. That's hilarious. He got a sheriff.
Well, he wasn't printing money, though.
Duplicating money.
He wasn't.
He wasn't. No, but the idea of him buying.
The sheriff buying an illegal item.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying just in general.
No, he wasn't doing it.
No.
Yeah, because that's hilarious. Like, that's like, you know. Like,
so,
oh, fuck yeah.
In the end, like, that was what he did illegal? At this time?
That con? Technically, no.
Because it's not duplicating money. Yeah. He just lied about it.
He just lied.
That's it. Lying isn't against the law.
He's selling. Yeah, he's falsely selling something.
Money for money.
Yeah.
Like,
so I
don't know.
It's just that it's a con.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is. Huh. You know, a lot of cons, you know, really kind of skirt around, you know, like these different Ponzi schemes and even. Yeah. You know, what Kyle at work was
like
trying to get into,
multi-level fucking marketing pyramid
schemes,
and everything.
You know?
Fucking hate pyramid schemes.
Yeah, I mean, that shit's all just a con, you know,
for most people.
Yeah.
Like, there are some people who can make money on those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can get up to where
you're a hustler and you want to do it, like, we talk about, like, you can make money.
You have to be that guy.
You have to be that person or girl.
But there has to be somebody on the bottom row.
Absolutely assuming gender over here. I mean,
oh, God.
Jesus.
It doesn't work without the bottom row not making money.
100%, yes.
Yeah.
You got to have the pyramid builders.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. You got to have those Jewish slaves bringing the stones over.
Yep.
Otherwise, that pyramid ain't getting built.
Yeah, no. So Lustig actually followed 10 commandments of the con.
Ooh, I like these.
That's pretty hype.
Yeah.
I want you to understand what you're about to do right now. Are you about to explain these 10 cons?
I'm about to let loose the 10 commandments
this
of the
is,
con onto
what the... What is that? What you call like a...
100 of just, people who listen to us. 100
of people. It's like a discretion like, type thing. Like, hey, guys, so like a warning. We're not responsible.
The hell are you talking about?
I don't fucking know. I'm kind of tipsy right now. I haven't had anything to eat.
Oh, you won fucking beer?
Yeah.
You said he's kind of tipsy. Oh, that's what happens when you're 120 pounds.
I come home from work today and Miranda's had 2 Moscow mules and she's fucking all sorts of just loopy and goofy.
Oh, I love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, why not?
So what's
you do the holiday.
Yeah. What is that when you're like telling someone like, hey, like a disclaimer, sorry.
Disclaimer?
So no, here's a disclaimer. No, here's a disclaimer.
Nope, don't need
if
a disclaimer.
Anyone listening to or that is making this podcast somehow uses these 10 tips.
Congratulations.
Good luck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good luck.
We're not responsible. There you go. Continue.
I'm not responsible for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm not responsible for anything.
I didn't tell you to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you history.
Yep.
Lustig's 10 Commandments of the Con. Encouraged by Gregory Tanner.
There you go.
Be a patient listener. It is this, not fast talking, that gets the con man his coops. I don't know what he means by coops, but I mean, gets the con
like
man his riches, I guess.
Getting eggs?
You know, get to your mark. Get to your...
Get to your coup.
Your coup. That's it. Yeah, I can't read, so...
Yeah, your coup.
Coup.
Yeah.
Coup.
Nice.
There you go. Number 2, never look bored. Number 3, wait for the other person to reveal any political opinions. And then agree with them.
Absolutely.
Number 4, let the other person reveal religious views and then have the same ones. Hint at sex talk, but don't follow it up unless the other shows a strong interest. Number six, never discuss illness unless someone special, unless some special concern is shown. Number seven, never pry into personal circumstances. They'll tell you eventually. Eight, never boast. Just let your importance be quietly obvious. That's a pretty interesting one.
That takes a lot of talent.
Yeah.
That last one in particular is like...
Number one, or number nine, never be untidy. And number 10, Josh, never get drunk.
Fuck. I do that too much.
You gotta stay, you gotta stay sharp. You gotta stay sharp. So, yeah, never boast, but just let your importance be quietly obvious. Like, that is impressive to pull off.
Carry that air of dignity.
It goes to what you were saying before. There's mannerisms and the way you carry yourself.
Yep.
And,
that people would automatically be like, oh, they're of higher class.
Yeah, and he's calling himself Count. Count Victor Lustig. Yeah. So if you're not American, like right away, or I mean, if you are American, right away you're like, wow, this guy's a count. What
the fuck does that mean? It's cool.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
Well, we're about to learn an important lesson, guys. We're going to talk about the bitter end of Victor Lustig.
Oh.
And I'm not going to ruin the surprise yet.
All right. Cool.
In 1930, Lustig went into partnership with two men from Nebraska. Nebraska. God, I am on one today.
Are you drunk?
No, I am fucking tired.
It couldn't have been the weed you just smoked.
Or the weed.
Couldn't have been that.
If you notice my front yard, I literally hauled
one
ton of gravel, 2 5-gallon buckets at a time from fucking the parking lot to my front yard this weekend. 200 something bricks, and then I had to fucking pound them into the ground one at a time.
Damn.
I'm exhausted. My arm was like jelly yesterday by the time I was done. I was so exhausted at work today. But yeah, I am dead tired. I'm literally running off espresso right now. That's it.
Nice.
Great. Now I don't know where I was.
Heat, Nebraska. Two guys.
William Watts, a chemist, and Tom Shaw conduct a large counterfeiting operation. Both Watts and Shaw engraved the plates that would be used to manufacture the counterfeit dollar bills, while Lustig organized a ring of couriers to distribute the forgeries, ensuring that they were kept in the dark regarding the production of the counterfeits. In short, the operation managed to circulate thousands of dollars of counterfeit money each month for the next 5 years.
Holy cow. Wait, how much again? Sorry.
Thousands of month for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's Buko bucks, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The increasing amount of forgeries entering the U.S. economy. Economy.
I always have that when I work out. I can't talk.
Yeah, I am drained.
No, I'm just being facetious.
Probably
the weed.
Yeah, after work, I was fucking passed out when I woke up.
Oh, it lifted a lot of everything, so I can't move my lips.
I function just fine on weed and alcohol.
Yeah, I can tell.
I lost my place again.
Yeah. No, you function great.
I can't help you this time.
Yeah,
great.
So the attention of the U.S. government and federal agents has been drawn, but they have no focal point at all. They don't know where it's coming from. This is why, if you have a girlfriend, ladies and gentlemen, and you are participating in illegal activities that 100% or any percent fund your life, treat her good. Do not cheat on her. Don't be mean to her. Don't yell at her, because she knows everything you're doing.
Yeah, don't we all know about, like, Cleopatra, bro? The most cold-hearted bitch ever, straight up. Like, she's
what are you referring to?
An entire empire, bro, because she's fucking lit.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. Just
continue.
What? No, I want to know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So.
God damn it.
No, he just wanted to hear his voice for a
little bit. This is a good one today, guys.
All right.
Lustig's girlfriend, Billy May, learned that he was betraying her for Shaw's young mistress.
So homegirl knew what was going on, so he goes ahead and cheats on her.
And
she has all the...
Everything.
What a fucking idiot.
So she gave an anonymous phone call to the federal authorities, and on May 10th, 1935, Lustig was arrested in New York City and charged with counterfeiting. Although he openly admitted to his partner's involvement in the operation, he himself feigned ignorance in the matter. However, his refusal to disclose information on a key found in his possession proved to be his undoing, when it was later found to open a locker in Times Square subway station containing $51,000 in counterfeit bills and the plates in which they had been printed.
Fuck.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You're done.
You're fucked. The day before his trial, Lustig managed to escape from the Federal House of Detention in New York City by faking an illness and using a specially made rope from bedsheets to climb out of the building.
Damn.
He's good. He's slippery.
Yeah.
Not good enough. He was recaptured 27 days later in Pittsburgh. He made it pretty far. Lustig pled guilty to...
How did he get recaptured?
I don't know.
Like, you're out 1935, whatever time it was.
At this point, I imagine they're looking for him pretty hard.
I would have gone to, like, in the fucking woods or something. Like, he went the wrong way.
New York, yeah,
no,
you should have left.
He went down.
Yeah, he went towards Pittsburgh.
Dude, go west. Go west into fucking, like...
Or go north, go to Canada, bro.
He wouldn't even have to leave the country. Again, you go west in fucking 1930, there's nothing.
Yeah.
He could just post up in
27 days, he could have made it past Pittsburgh for sure. That means he stopped in Pittsburgh or was taking his time.
Jump on a fucking buggy carriage or whatever. And head west. That's where I would have gone.
Yeah. So he was sentenced to 15 years in Alcatraz for the forgery and another 5 for his prison escape. On March 9th, 1947, he contracted pneumonia and was pronounced dead 2 days later at a medical center for prisoners. On his death certificate, his occupation was listed as apprentice salesman.
They're not wrong.
Yeah.
He was a salesman.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was just selling cons.
Yeah, and he actually died because of basically the whole boy who cried wolf scenario, because he already escaped faking an illness. He's saying he's sick and all this, and they weren't treating him for a long time, and then finally they took him to a medical center and he died.
Huh.
But, you know, again, boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Damn, he just conned himself out of life, bro. That's hype.
I mean... So he was born in 1890.
He says Cleopatra, and he just conned himself out of life. There you go.
Yeah, so he died at 57.
Josh just dropped his fucking truth nuggets tonight.
Died at 57. He didn't, you know, he died in prison shortly. So, I mean, he spent most of his life
just conning away.
Conning away, living pretty good, I imagine. You know?
Yeah, I mean, how could you?
You're like a straight up Frank Abagnale.
Yeah.
An early Frank Abagnale.
I would say Frank Abagnale even ended up better, you know. At
least he may end up much better.
Yeah, he got to turn it around and work for the feds. That dude was smart. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was good.
What movie was that?
Catch Me If You Can.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
But the guy who does, he's like a check. He forges checks and everything like that. He also impersonates like
airline pilots,
doctors, and stuff like that. And he's like a con man.
Yeah.
And his big thing was forging. Checks.
Yeah, he was like forging checks from the airline, and in the movie it shows him like taking toy airplanes, soaking them so he could peel the logo off them and then like place it onto a check and dry it.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he was. It's a great movie. It's a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it's long.
And Tom
Hanks
really
did
it, and DiCaprio. It's really good.
That sounds good.
But yeah, that's a good movie on con. Like much better than like Ocean's 11 or something.
Yeah, yeah, and it's true.
Where they just straight up stole. Yeah. Bunch of money.
Let's talk about the greatest con in movies ever.
Don't say Cleopatra. Do Cleopatra.
The opening scene of The Dark Knight.
Mm-mm.
That's a good robbery.
Absolutely not.
That's not really a con.
That's not even a great robbery.
He conned the fuck out of his henchmen.
It was okay. I think you're giving it too much credit because you haven't seen a lot of movies. Yeah, take a look at that versus like something like Heat or...
What?
Yeah, Heat's really good.
What's Heat?
Oh man!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it wasn't for Heat, there would be no Dark Knight.
Mm. I watched that movie
not
again,
in that way.
Like,
that's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah,
I watched that again like 2 weeks ago.
What, Dark Knight?
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely the best.
It's definitely
of those
like
three, but it wasn't the best Batman.
Okay, what's the best Batman? Bro?
I would
like Batman movie or Batman?
No, Batman movie.
Ooh, okay, what's the best one?
Batman movie?
In my opinion, it was the original,
like the OG Batman.
Not the original movie by Tim Burton.
Michael Keaton, Batman?
Yeah. That followed closely by Batman Begins.
Tim Burton understood.
Because Batman Begins felt like Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises did not feel like Batman.
Tim Burton understood the world of Batman really well.
Yeah.
That's the kind of world he worked in.
That's
already.
What I mean. Yeah, it felt like a Batman.
He made Gotham feel like Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's as cool. to where...
Dark Knight did not
Dark
feel
Knight
like
feels
Gotham.
Like Chicago.
Yeah.
100%. 100% Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep. I just don't like...
But it was a good movie.
I really hated Christian Bale's interpretation of Batman.
Why?
Of Bruce Wayne or Batman?
Of Batman. Bruce Wayne was cool. It's fine.
Wow, what was wrong with this Batman?
Wait,
before you say anything, you can't use the voice.
All right. Well, besides that, the choreographing of like his fights,
fighting is very
stiff. It's so stiff, and like it looks like I'm watching.
First of all, that's not his interpretation. That was something called the Casey fighting method, which he was trained in for the movie. And it was actually the Casey fighting method was it was born out of like bouncers having to fight in close quarters and dark situations.
Huh.
That's where it came from.
Like kind of a Krav Maga style?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Where you're in close situations, you got to use what's around you, whether it be an ashtray to smack somebody against the head versus the chairs, and they're in nightclub situations, and you're fighting unpredictable people, so you have to quickly adapt to it. Yeah, it's called the Casey fighting method. So that's what he was trained in. That wasn't his interpretation.
Fair. Aside from that, the voice makes me so upset.
That's such an absurd argument. Because what do you think would he do then?
A voice modulator.
Huh?
A voice modulator. Just like they did in the whole Batman v Superman shit. Like, he has a voice modulator.
I don't like that. I don't like
that. The voice modulator was worse. Was way worse.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes more sense as Batman.
Michael Keaton, he just didn't talk that much, but when he did, he just deepened his voice. In Nolan's Batman, he just talked more as Batman.
Yeah.
And so what else are you going to do if you're Batman?
Voice modulator. Because that's what Batman would do.
No, he didn't. That's not necessarily what he would do.
Yes, it is.
I watched the animated series. Didn't do that.
But like when you really dive into the aspect and the idea of Batman.
Is that what he did in the comic?
I'm sure it's probably happened in the comics. I have no idea.
It didn't happen in any other one, except for the most recent one with Batfleck, which is really weak. Okay, really. It's not that it's bad. It's just weak. It's not George Clooney or Val Kilmer bad, but it's just weak. Besides that, they didn't have those.
Also, his fighting in Batman v Superman was on point, bro. The shit, Batfleck's fighting scenes.
Yeah, that was they were pretty sick.
Fucking coming to
the
floor, bro.
Yeah, except for the fact they look like they were in a video game. I thought they were all right. Yeah,
that's
like
what it's supposed to look like. It's a comic book movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you ever saw, like...
What are you talking about? It's a comic book movie. You like The Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, I like
it. That doesn't feel like a comic book movie.
No, but like, I like what it is. Obviously, it's more of a realistic, like, interpretation of Batman. But like, I just hate the voice. Sure, that might be outlandish of me to think that.
Yeah, but Batman didn't do that.
I also hate...
They all talked just like themselves. Maybe a little bit deeper. That's it. He just took it to a little bit more of an extreme, but it's like, what else are you going to do? Because he has to talk to people he would normally see. Yeah. Like, you have no other options besides a voice modulator, which, okay, maybe...
Like, why not? Like, that makes the
because
most sense.
Because it's something that can get broken.
Because what if somebody de-scrambles it?
That's what I mean. Yeah, that could break.
But then you just do deep voice.
Okay, yeah. No, because you got, like, you're going to put that much effort into...
Or what if somebody...
I mean, he puts effort into, like, putting on eyeshadow, I guess, but you're going to put that much effort into, like, just changing his voice? Why would you do that? You could just deepen it. He's not worried about what people think.
Fair. It's a fair argument.
Somebody could copy it and, like, make calls into the commissioner as Batman or not Batman. I don't know.
Yeah, you get hit squarely in the chest and it starts going...
If they heard his voice normally, couldn't they also do the same thing? And they're like, oh, that sounds like Bruce Wayne. And then,
He doesn't talk normally.
Okay, that's fair. Fair argument. That's good. All right.
I always hear people saying, oh, their stupid voice. Did you say the same thing about Bane? Like,
no, because Bane's is cool.
Oh, okay.
Bane's is cool. Voice. Yeah. Like, it doesn't... Like, it sounds...
The fire rises.
Bane's voice was weird.
Like, they had to do so many reshoots because it was so muffled and weird. And I'm not saying I hated it, but it was just like, why is his voice like... Like, where is he from? You could pick that movie apart if you wanted to all day. At the end of the day, you just got to... Just enjoy it for what it is. Yeah, you're just like, whatever. I'm just going to turn off my mind. But I didn't hate his voice, but I'm not like some of you could. But people seem to overlook that one and just kind of hate on
Christian Bale. It's because it's more unique. It's not just like, oh, I'm Batman. Like, it's a difference. It's like, it's articulate, but also like kind of fucking weird and kind of muffled at the same time. Like, because normally when you hear Bane, like, it sounds like it's coming through a rebreather. So, like, when you add that extra weird flair to it, like, it makes it like... This is an interesting interpretation of Bane. But having just Bruce Wayne growling at you is not an interesting interpretation of Batman.
Like, yeah, it's just deeper.
But like it, like, I don't know. Like it, you can obviously tell he's trying.
Yes, because he has to disguise his voice. Yeah. If he didn't disguise his voice, why even wear the cowl?
I don't know, bro. Like, I just think like
no, you're just a hater.
I just think like
you're a hater.
If you look at
just
Daredevil,
like you brought on that hater last time of just the people, which is a nowadays society. That they just strictly hate without any backing.
It's no, one like thing I to gave have you
a,
my backing.
No, there's one thing to like reason, have a,
which is
it's
fine.
One thing to have an opinion and be like, no, this is how I think it might it should be or something like that. And then it's just like a boring critic who just tears something down.
But I would never be out like, oh, this movie's trash because of this. Like publicly, like being, I guess I am publicly doing.
Yeah, it. You.
But like, yeah. But like,
but like, you know, what I'm saying, to yeah. Like, think about it and have a reason.
Well,
and
like,
think
I
of
have,
like other but, situations as why besides just hating.
I just think it's dumb. I just think it's dumb. Like I just
hey, you can just think it's dumb. That's totally that's a valid reason.
That's all it comes from is just that it's dumb. I just think it's dumb. I think in my opinion, if I were to write Batman, obviously it'd be like Batman has a voice modulator
that can get broken.
Sure, it could get broken.
And then what?
Then he deepens his voice.
Then so you're back to what
breaks,
you're.
Yes. What if it breaks mid speech though? He doesn't even realize he's been talking. The commissioner's like, "Why is Bruce Wayne talking to me for 2 minutes?"
No.
After this fucking
like, first of all, isn't everybody always after Bruce or Batman's identity?
Yeah.
So the first thing they would notice is that he has a voice modulator and would try to.
I would try to go after it. Yeah.
Try to go after that.
What are the re-scramble at mid-speech so Bruce's voice just starts?
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Just start doing that. Oh, I haven't practiced my deepened voice.
If you're
voice.
The one changing it, you're in control.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a weak argument for the whole Nolan series.
But that's like my only complaint about that series, aside from the block fighting, which is makes
not
more sense.
Aside from the entire third film.
Yeah. How do you?
Aside from the
in particular
the tunnel prison. Yeah. Where was that? Where was the tunnel prison?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. In particular,
like,
I'm talking.
And then
about
he just got out. And was like, all right, bro. Guys, I'm going to let everybody know I'm back. First, I got to put a big bat symbol and
yeah.
Fire on the bridge just to give who.
Yeah.
Like, why yeah. Do that?
Where
again?
Was yeah, where was the prison? Like, is it in the middle of the desert? Is it right
yeah.
Outside of Gotham?
Yeah,
is
where it, was this, like, does it look like it was in, you know, Afghanistan
yeah,
or something like that?
I have to say it.
And who was being held there?
Coming
is
up.
Is this, like, a
yeah,
government
just,
thing?
It like, almost was more like a society of
yeah.
People.
Yeah, we were born in the, we just hang out in the prison.
Yeah.
And try and
yeah, yeah. No, just hanging yeah. There. Like, who's putting there? Who's this governance that,
yeah.
That
yeah.
Proceeds
that
over
that Bane
this?
Seems to be in charge of now, too.
I guess. Like, I don't know, for
and
some whatever reason.
And he doesn't free any of the people that he, like,
grew. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nope.
All right, now I have to watch that movie again, because I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, I just tried. I stopped. It's if you go
was
online,
it on TV?
Again, you gotta, no. Like, you gotta just yeah. Turn your brain off and just be like, yeah, whatever, I'm just gonna go along for this ride, because that's all you can do with that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's not trying to be a hater, it's just, like, it was yeah. It was a weak ending that I think...
To
looking at Nolan's experience and his, I think, brother who was his brother who wrote it
was
or
it?
Wrote a lot of them. He wrote a lot of his work, like Inception, Memento,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, looking at his history and then that be the ending to a trilogy,
yeah.
You're like,
especially ooh. Coming after The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
which,
Batman Begins was
Batman Begins
great.
Was great. Yeah, that
great.
That one really felt like Gotham, which was really weird. And then it was like Dark Knight, and you're like, these
yeah.
Are two completely different cities.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was
two
almost like
two
Gotham
feels.
To Metropolis.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was in Metropolis. And
yeah.
And then the third one was just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Which is maybe like the expectations were too high. I don't know. But
it was like the switch from the originals, like when Tim Burton stopped directing, and then all of a sudden it's this,
talking about
this carnival.
Those were
world.
The best. Those are the best Batmans ever.
with a nipple.
With the bat card. Absolutely.
Yeah, the bat pizza card.
Oh, yeah, the bat card.
Oh,
that is in the hockey. They got skates. They're
yeah.
Playing ice hockey.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck, that is
yeah.
A glorious, glorious thing.
Oh, it's so cringy, though, like, when you watch it.
They're, like, surfing.
Oh,
right?
I bought all four on DVD, bro.
Like, you know, they're fun to watch, but, like,
yeah.
Oh, it's absurd.
It's, like,
yeah,
those are the things that they're, like,
absurd.
You're kind of just like, God,
yeah.
This is so cheesy, but,
yeah.
Like, you keep watching
it. Oh, it's, yeah, terrible.
Oh, man, those are
great. Great.
That's funny.
Those
are so brutal. Sorry, do we have anything else?
No, we've got absolutely. We're just talking about Batman.
Oh, okay, cool. I just watched Batman v Superman again last night, bro.
Why?
Why?
Because it's so
yeah,
fucking
why?
Good, bro.
You know what else you could watch?
What?
Anything.
Anything.
There's literally
else.
Ten, like hundreds of thousands of movies out there.
Yeah, but it's just
And
so
you
could
be watching, like, really good movies, but instead, I mean, I get it to a certain extent, like, when I'm cooking or something like that, I'll just put on something easy to watch, like The Office on Netflix. Just to, I'll always rewatch it, because it's just, it's a background, but you're sitting down to watch a three-hour movie that is not that good. That is, it's not, you know, it's just not that good.
It's a commitment. That's a chunk of your life.
Why did you say that name? What did you say? Oh, God. It was terrible.
I just realized, you remember how we were talking about, like, a couple weeks ago, how, like, I could show you a movie that, and I can show you something that you've never seen in that movie before.
What?
Well, you said that, like, 2 weeks ago or whatever.
We were talking about Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so.
What did I say?
Oh, like, it was the Mandela Effect. We were like, oh, I guarantee I could show you something in a movie you love that you've never seen before.
Yeah, 100%.
I just realized that fucking Jim Gordon from Gotham, the TV series, is in Batman v Superman.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if he's – it doesn't ever give a nod if he's Jim Gordon or not. But, like, that actor is in there in the
– Is there no Jim Gordon in Batman v Superman?
No. There's not. Because we didn't see Jim Gordon until Justice League. Which was then...
Jim Gordon. Who the hell is that?
He's Commissioner
Gordon that was in the Nolan franchise, right?
He's an official...
Is that Oldman? Oldman? Or Goldman, right? Gary Oldman. That's it.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon as a character is...
Yeah, he's Batman's Batman like... Universe.
Okay, but he wasn't in Batman vs. Superman.
No.
Because this is way after.
And just...
Batman vs. Superman, Batman's like... He's not an old guy, but he's older.
Commissioner Gordon
should be retired at that point, yeah.
Yeah, but Commissioner Gordon... Is what's his name? The guy that plays Jonah Jameson.
Jonah Jameson
in Spider-Man.
Oh, the newspaper boss
of the Daily Beagle.
Yeah.
Fuck. What's his name?
Your Jonah.
That's like fuck.
Yeah, whatever.
But that actor plays Jim Gordon in Justice League.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
And so, but
you mean
but,
he plays Jim Gordon in Gotham?
No.
In Justice League.
Yeah,
oh.
In Justice League, they have Jim Gordon that was officially casted, but you have the actor from Gotham in Batman v Superman.
Then it's not him.
I know, but, like, it could have been. And like,
no, but it's not.
Yeah,
they cast,
now it's not.
They cast, no, but obviously, it wasn't then because they cast some other guy. Or their fucking universe
saying,
is that shittily patched together that they don't even have consistency.
Wait, so you're saying the character was? The actor
was? No, not
that
the actor
the
was, but he was also an officer. So he looked really young, too, so it could have been, like, an early Jim Gordon. But it wouldn't have made sense to the timeline.
Oh.
I just noticed he was...
Oh, okay, so you just noticed something new that you'd never
noticed. Yeah, that's all I was saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Mandela Effect out the fucking window, dude.
Oh, like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you can just...
Oh, no, I've been getting Mandela Affected, like, every day.
Oh, yeah,
sure. It's constant. It's crazy.
But yeah, watch another movie, dude. Like, there's so many more.
Dude, it's so good.
No, it's not. That's the thing.
I love it.
It's one thing if
you're
like, dude, I keep watching The Godfather. It's just so good. I would be like, yep, I get it. It's probably one of the best movies ever made. But you're not. You're literally talking about a mediocre film that just isn't worth that many repeat viewings that you do. I mean, hey, if you like it, whatever.
I think I love it so much because I feel like I saw the potential in what Zack Snyder could have done if Warner Brothers wasn't fucking with this shit.
But it doesn't matter what you
could
have seen.
But that's why I love it, because I love that interpretation of Batman.
Good.
Like, Batfleck is my shit, bro. Like,
all right.
Hey, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day,
I'm
going
to have to retitle this episode, too. Talks about Batman movies.
Yeah, /Batman.
Yeah, /Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, guys?
Sometimes.
Thanks for listening. And we're going to play a new game where it's you listen, but I want you to go tell one person about the show this week.
Yeah.
Just tell one person and force them with physical violence. Make them listen to our show.
There you go.
Or con them. I just taught you how to con people. You can con them into listening to our show. But, you know, just spread the word, guys. We appreciate you listening, and, you know, we want to spread this around. We don't really have ways of advertising besides you wonderful people telling other people how awesome that Steve, Josh, and I are.
Mm-hmm. So, I can only do as much as I can, guys. You know what I'm saying? Without spending money on it.
So. You know, if you're on Facebook, share our page, share our posts, do things like that. If you're not following us on Facebook, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You should really only be listening to this show, watching our Facebook page, checking our Instagram. I will allow you to listen to Josh's music and stuff like that.
And my...
No, Steve's got nothing going.
Not yet.
He's got nothing.
But I will step in here. If there's anything, I will say, I would recommend that you follow us and enjoy everything we do on Instagram, because it's the best platform that we have.
Instagram is?
Yeah. It's dope. Facebook's trash.
So
why is it trash?
It's just for old people.
Why do people? I hear the kid, like kids saying that. Why is it for old people?
Because now we're in an age where
you have it.
We're old. Yeah, but I hate because, I don't use it.
I contemplate bad about it.
I contemplate deleting it every single day.
Why? So why not? Like, well, I don't understand what's so bad about it.
Because it's polluted with just like shit and politics that aren't even like actually true, and stupid studies of science that I'm pretty sure aren't even real, or like have been like evaluated by one person and just wrote a post about it. It's just full of like bullshit. It's just like, I don't know, it's really annoying people.
Yeah, but so is Instagram.
No, it's
everybody
not.
Puts on their best life.
That's not true. There's plenty.
A lot of people in there like, hey, guys.
No, there's plenty of things you can find on Instagram.
I'm pretty depressed today, I haven't done anything.
Instagram is littered with people trying to like promote their little like producer businesses or whatever.
100%. I see nothing but ads.
Yeah, that's all I get.
Ads probably every other post. And I'm not like, I don't work for Facebook or anything. I just don't get that, again, hate. Where, yeah, those are valid points where a lot of it is just people get into that echo chamber. Mm-hmm. They start sharing bullshit, and you're like, I don't even know if this is fucking true or not.
Yeah.
But don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining and say that Instagram is so much better when, again, what I'm saying is everybody puts on their best face for these things, and that's social media's problem. Nobody has a video or their story is just like, yeah, didn't really do anything today, kind of depressed, just ate some cereal, barely even turned on the light, and I guess I'm just going
to
stay in bed all day.
God, I would have to go hug that person.
Like, you wouldn't see that post. What you see are, like, either comedy posts or, people trying to show that they got some Yeezys or some stupid Supreme backpack or something like that. I just know. Well, you're saying that stuff doesn't happen? You're saying Supreme and, like, those things aren't flashed on Instagram because people might have saved up. They spent all their money. They can barely pay rent, but they're able to buy $300 shoes and post that on Instagram because that's what everybody's going to see.
Like, I agree that it's a false flag. I agree that it exists, but, like, it's up to you to tailor that out of your own shit. Like,
you can say that about Facebook. You can say that about anything, but don't say one social media.
Yeah, but like Facebook is so
social media.
No, but what
general.
the difference is like Instagram is so focused with what you can post on it.
You
that
know
it's
who owns Instagram, right?
Facebook, yeah, I know. I understand.
I know, yeah.
But what I'm saying is like it's so much more focused and concise. What I'm saying is what I post on Instagram, what you look for, it's simple, it's easy. It's like literally just like, oh, this is nice, cool. You see that picture you like? Click on it, and like we have all the information there. Everything looks nice.
Right, but it's all
Facebook.
False.
Huh?
It's all bullshit.
No, it's not.
Yeah, most of it is. Nobody's putting their real, like, lives on there. Nobody's putting, like...
I mean, I agree, but, like, here, like, I use it for business purposes. I use it to promote the podcast. I use it to promote my music.
Yeah.
And anything else that, like, artistically that I work with.
Right.
What Steve's saying is we didn't see one picture of you broken in a trash can in Boston.
Yeah, like because that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah. But I'm sure you post like a picture of you chilling in your car with your headphones in.
No. Fuck no, why would I do that? It's cheesy.
I saw that picture.
No.
You were sitting in your Infiniti car looking out the window and you had some AirPods in.
Was I doing a video?
I just saw the post.
Okay, so I was probably doing a video and not a fucking picture. So that's cheesy.
Hey, that's all I saw. But what I'm saying is you didn't post a picture of when you fell down from a fence and broke your ankle. What are you going to post up there? The better
Music promotion.
Yeah. You're not gonna. That's what I'm saying. Like it's bullshit,
like,
man.
I'm not trying
don't
to be like.
Tell me.
Oh,
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it either. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I got it. I look on it. But what I'm saying is, again, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Like, don't.
I just think it's
say it's something when it's clearly not just that.
But like, you haven't really used Instagram like I use Instagram. You don't like see it. Like, it is my main.
I had a business where I had to promote it on Instagram.
Yeah, I know. But that's okay. To be fair. I deal with, like, people that you're talking about probably on a more regular basis than you do.
What people?
Like, oh, I'm going to flash my shit, blah, 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 blah.
You just said that didn't happen. Who do you follow?
I said it does happen. I said,
exactly.
Who do you follow?
Yeah.
Because I've gone through that. I know that's there, but what I'm saying is when you follow the people that you want to follow, you know that these people are posting, like, precise things that you want to see. And so that's what a good Instagram account is about. It's not about you, like, being, like, if you want a fucking clout master that you want to follow, you can find that.
A what?
A clout master or a fucking hype beast or a fucking fuckboy, whatever.
I don't know what any of those things
think of mean, Sterling and what he likes to do. But, like...
I don't know. Okay.
Everything you
just Supreme, like, all that. Like,
okay.
All that bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
the rich kids of Instagram.
So, like, if you want to find that, you can find that. But, like, I follow a couple comic book
fucking profiles and stuff. And so, like, it's and artists.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it can't be beneficial.
I'm just saying, and it can't, and for that reason alone, right. It is better.
No, because
it's like you have friends and shit on Facebook that are like polluting your whole thing with a bunch of shit.
All Steve is saying is, don't tell me one's better than the other.
I will tell you, they're all full of mostly trash, man. And you just got to filter it to your.
But one has a better filter, is what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. One has a better filter
for now.
Maybe.
For now, yeah, because we'll see. Fucking Facebook puts everything up.
And you know, actually, from all the other podcasts I hear, I hear Twitter is the thing to be on.
Yeah, but I don't know
how Twitter.
I don't know how to do podcast
community and things. I don't know. Josh is our social media manager.
I'm still trying to figure it out, man. Twitter is fucking weird. You guys all like to complain about things.
Yeah, fucking Donald Trump can figure it out.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out?
He's fucking Donald Trump. I'm not Donald Trump.
Right. Oh, thank God. No. We don't have two of those.
Can we change our Twitter to the real Strange People Weird
Yeah,
World?
Seriously. If that jabroni can figure it out, I think you can.
Well, anyways, guys, like I said, tell a friend about the show. Force them with force and violence to listen to it. If they don't laugh, punch them in the gut. Other than that, thanks for listening, guys. You know, it's been wonderful having you.
100%.
Follow us on your favorite social media.
Tell us your favorite essential oil smell.
And, let us know your favorite essential oil smell. We got peppermint going. We had orange last week. And that's it, you guys. Thank you for listening.
Got one more thing. Sorry.
Josh has one more thing.
If it's about Batman versus Superman,
I want to give a special shout out to Tall Guy Short Guy podcast. You guys are some of the first people to actually just reach out to us and say some dope shit.
Oh yeah, shout out Tall Guy Short Guy. Shout out to Girth Brooks.
Yeah. Girth Brooks, there you go. Yeah, 100%. So
Double D.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys very much. So just check their podcast out. They're pretty funny. Yeah. Like you guys,
I didn't
think
get
we're
to
weird.
Finish. I started the show, but it was pretty funny.
You guys think we're weird? Hey man, they're just as weird.
Yeah, you guys are from my hometown of Las Vegas, so shout out to that too. Even though I think Vegas sucks and I hate being there, but love you all in Vegas. Speaking of cities, shout out to LA and San Francisco. You guys are our top listening cities right now. We are big in California. LA even more listens than Denver, so nice. What the fuck, Denver?
I don't know, man.
Anyways, you know what, guys? That's it.
Keep it weird.
Yeah.
Well, I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life.
Nice.